Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you have a nice little Monday. It's your sports bros. Rob Suk. I'm Rob. Big Suk's right over there.
Rick.
Oh, dude.
It makes me sad.
Man, we are partying on a Monday.
Well, the free agency world, you know, it's definitely a
dare. Excuse me, the legal tampering
the
world?
Legal tampering, the fiddling, if you will.
The fiddle phase.
It leads to a lot of what have yous in the NFL community.
Sure does.
Yeah.
We've got more of that coming up this hour, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. What quarterback would you be excited about if the Seahawks drafted them? We'll talk about that. Coming up tonight in the club, yet another why the hell did they turn the plane around situation?
Yeah. By the way, we also have apparently some clarity on the tragic pseudo-celebrity wife on the cruise ship, the Faster Pussycat gal.
We still haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah.
We haven't addressed that story.
Oh, yeah, you brought that story up, but we never got into the details.
We never got into it, yeah.
Well, I have long said that if you are in the middle of a troubled relationship, do not go hiking, do not go on a cruise. You will be shoved to your death. And I thought this was another example of no one heeding my words, but apparently... not so fast.
Yeah, Faster Pussycat.
Who knew that was still a thing?
Well, they're a band.
Yes.
And apparently they have band members.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their band members is a murderer.
Or is he?
So that's Club 6 to 7. Right now, we should probably get over to the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Well, the Ducks are now ranked 23rd in the AP.
It's about damn time.
They are projected as a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. West Coast Conference tournament semifinals are tonight. Pepperdine, St. Mary's, San Francisco, Gonzaga, both games later. You know, the West Coast is one league that changed its format to favor the top teams. So Pepperdine's already won 3 games in the tournament, including beating Portland and beating Oregon State. This will be the first game of the entire tournament for St. Mary's and Gonzaga.
Yeah, there's some of them. I forget. There was a small conference that the number one seed doesn't have to play until the championship game.
I want to say it's the Sun Belt. It's somewhere down there.
Yeah, they just said, hey, we're advancing you because they want the regular season to be weighted more in these conferences where only one team is going to get a bid.
Portland State hasn't been to the Big Dance since 2009 with the Boner. Tonight they play Idaho in the third round of the Big Sky Tournament.
And the Ducks open with what? Indiana, right?
Indiana, 9 a.m. Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Number four.
So Brock was hoping to make it a four-day work week. It wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, because
I was hoping.
Because even if they win and play on Friday, that will also be.
They're in the upper bracket, so it's they're early
9 a.m. both days.
LeBron is hurt now. He's out 1 to 2 weeks with a strained groin.
Yeah, he says it was concerning because that's what he did last year when he missed the extended time. He said it did not feel anywhere near as bad. So the old reevaluation.
Lakers lost in Boston on Saturday. Blazers suddenly suck again. They've lost 4 of 5. They are at Golden State tonight. Jeremy Grant, doubtful. Denny Abdia, questionable. Steph Curry accepted a new gig today. You see that? He left the Warriors.
What's he doing now?
He's going to be the assistant GM at Davidson Basketball. I thought it was a better deal.
It's pulling. Who is that? Woj, right? To left to do that at his alma mater?
Yeah, St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
Now, Curry's still going to be a Warrior. I was just joking. But he is going to be the assistant GM of Davidson Basketball. They're saying the first active player in U.S. pro sports to also be an NCAA administrator.
Is this just code for I'm going to try to raise money from my rich friends to get to Davidson?
I think that's right. And
it's exactly what it is.
I might pitch in a little bit in the offseason here and there. I'll get on a call or two.
He said he and Alicia?
Aisha.
He said they were going to start a fund to help Davidson NIL.
Yeah.
So what this is him saying, look, if I'm going to start a 10-figure fund.
Yeah, give me something.
You're going to give me control of it, you little bitches.
Well, the assistant control of it.
And that's what he did. I'm sure that's what that is.
Yeah.
One of his Davidson teammates and roommates said, you know, we used to eat Outback Steakhouse, takeout, and watch The Office when we were in college together, so I'm only calling him as Davidson's assistant to the general manager.
Well, the season hasn't even started and already a big blow to the Yankees. Ace Gerrit Cole needs Tommy John surgery. He's done for the season. He had been experiencing elbow discomfort. Suck it, Yankees.
Wow. That's a bold statement right there.
Is it?
Well,
it's the Yankees.
The poor guy is out for the year.
Well, so what?
Career-threatening surgery.
Who cares?
Like, suck it, Yankees. All right.
They're falling apart, though.
They deserved it.
We got some issues.
Number two.
Yeah, they'll trade for Dylan Cease in a couple weeks.
There's only one team in New York that matters. It's not the Yankees. Go Mets.
The Steelers are now expected to meet with Aaron Rodgers after landing DK Metcalf over the weekend. Pittsburgh quarterback Justin Fields leaving. He signs with the Jets today. 2 years, $40 million. The Rams bring back QB2 Jimmy Garoppolo on a one-year deal.
Well, for like $11 million. What is the fascination with Jimmy Garoppolo and Sean McVay? Find a woman that loves you the way that Sean McVay loves Jimmy Garoppolo. Although, you're in a win-down mode with the Rams. I can see it because if Stafford does get hurt, he's getting long in the tooth. Garoppolo's a capable backup, but that's a nice chunk of change for Jimmy.
The Commanders traded for Texans offensive tackle Laremy Tunsil today. Houston gets a package of picks, including a second, third, and seventh. Teams also swap fourths. Receiver Chris Godwin back to the Bucs, 3 years, $66 million. The Chiefs get a new left tackle, former Niners offensive tackle Jalen Moore, 2 years, $30 million. Elsewhere, you got Zach Wilson, a one-year deal with the Dolphins worth $6 million. You got the Eagles losing pass rusher Josh Sweat. He goes to the Cardinals for 4 years, $76
million. Yeah, it's just one of those, just not going to. Bad teams can afford to pay where, like, the Eagles can.
And former Niners linebacker Talanoa Hufanga signs with the Broncos, 3 years, up to $45
million. Safety, Hufanga, but and I think Greenlaw signed with them, too, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
What did I say?
I think that's right.
You said linebacker, but Hufanga is he's a safety.
And a local legend. He's an Oregon
local
kid.
Yes. And number one, Sam Darnold is a Seahawk. 3 years, $100.5 million U.S. dollars. Pays him over $33 million per season. Reports are now that Geno Smith was offered over $40 million a year for 2 years, but he turned that down and then requested a trade.
Yeah.
So, so it sounds like the Seahawks kind of had to move on from Smith, and Darnold was their backup plan, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think largely they're... relatively the same player. I think Geno Smith is a better version of Sam Darnold. I think he's proven it. I think he's played behind a terrible O-line and still been a solid player. I get where they're going with Sam Darnold. My fear for Seattle is that Sam Darnold has only had one remotely successful year in the NFL, and that was with a very good O-line, a solid run game, arguably the best combo of receivers in the NFL, a Pro Bowl tight end, and a great scheme with a top three or four play caller in the NFL. None of those things exist in Seattle, and you're bringing in someone who is one of the worst quarterbacks against pressure in the NFL and putting him in a system. Now, granted, new offensive coordinator wants to run the ball more. We'll see what happens with their line, but a place in Seattle over the last 3 years that Geno's had to play in, one of the worst pressure situations in the NFL. So if you're a Seahawks fan, I get where this seems a little odd, but again, once he decided that you couldn't get a deal done with Geno Smith, I don't know where else you were going to pivot. I mean, I guess you could have gone the Justin Fields route, which would have been cheaper. So basically you got an extra pick and $9 million a year in savings to go from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold. And I would bet my hat that in the third or fourth round, Seattle is going to take a quarterback and try to have a Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson type competition.
So the Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, 19 locations across Oregon and Washington, now in Lacama Square in Vancouver. Find a location near you at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Let's talk about the Seahawks' new quarterback. And who would you be most excited about if the Seahawks do draft a guy? We'll talk about that coming up next, and other NFL moves next on The Fan. Well, the Seahawks quarterback situation has changed, but
has it?
But has it?
Yeah, it's like if you were getting kicked in the nuts by a horse, and then now you're getting kicked in the nuts by a zebra. Who's to say? It's still a hoof that's kicking in the junk at inappropriate times, but you know it's different.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's the Sam Darnold thing gives me no confidence if I'm a Seahawks fan. But at the same time, we're just hoping they draft a young guy and he's just a bridge, just like Geno Smith would have been. So
yeah,
I don't think you're any worse off with Darnold. I mean, I know you don't like Darnold as much as Geno, but I think Darnold is a little better, only a little, than Geno. So it's like, yeah, who cares? Pick your poison. They're both going to, I mean, especially behind a bad offensive line.
And that's
they're both in trouble.
And that's my biggest question with Seattle is, what are you going to do to address the offensive line? Now, I get you brought over Clint Kubiak, and he's going to run this run first play action style that protects quarterbacks, where I think with Geno in the old offenses, I think they kind of hung him out to dry a little bit. Remember, for 3 weeks at the beginning of the year last year, Kubiak hid that crappy Saints offensive line and they looked like gangbusters, and then they got exposed and the rest of the year their offense looked like absolute dog mess. So I'm willing to give this thing some time. I just think that you punted on a guy that has played well, top 15 quarterback well, in a very chaotic system, for a guy that has had one good year in his career, and he did it under the most ideal circumstances, none of which will be in Seattle. To be fair to Seattle, it sounds like they tried to get the Geno Smith thing done, and
yeah, he got big head.
He got big head,
which is really wild. His, like, can you think of two better reclamation projects at quarterback than Geno Smith and Sam Darnold over the last 20 years?
I mean, Baker would Baker's really be the good. Only one. Rich Gannon had brief one. I mean,
I don't think Baker was as low as Geno Darnold.
He just these got two hurt in Cleveland.
Geno Smith and Sam Darnold were done.
Yes.
They were done.
Yeah.
They were nothing. Yeah. But Baker just kind of, he got hurt in Cleveland and he just kind of never really lived up to the hype for a bit, but He's
a better quarterback.
That's a different animal. Yes. I can't think of another quarterback that was left for dead that resurrected themselves.
Yep. And now
I guess it would be a battle between Darnold and Geno as to who did it better.
And now they're swapping for one another.
And now there's, yeah, which again, we can go back to, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of the same. They're the same guy.
Yeah.
But, Geno, it's just interesting to me that Geno gets big head after being basically out of the league. And now you've played fine, but they're offering you $40 million.
Yeah.
And that's not enough for you?
No. And to be
and
fair,
it's one thing to say, okay, I want more. That's one thing.
Yeah.
It's another to just not even counter and say, trade me.
Yeah.
Really?
And it worked. I mean, they did. They dealt him, and the Raiders are willing to pay him. And now if you're Seattle, I think the weird part about Seattle is, you know, they get rid of DK Metcalf. They get rid of Lockett. They get rid of Geno. They bring in Darnold. Like, under John Schneider, they have never once gone into a rebuild mode. They are constantly under the belief that they can move on from players. And remember, they have moved on with Richard Sherman, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. I mean, you name it. They have moved on from guys, and a lot of them still had a lot of football left in the tank and played at high levels, but they have been in a constant state of John Schneider telling you, we can find replacements for these guys. And there has never been a rebuild. And to be fair to John Schneider, it's been pretty successful. They're always cranking out 7, 8, 9, 10 wins. The last 3 years, 10 wins, game shy of the playoffs. And here we are again, doing this idea of we're going to tinker, but we're not ready to admit that we're going to take a step backwards to go forwards. And that's just kind of their philosophy. And we'll see where they go with this. I think this is a pretty risky move.
But I guess in fairness to them, if they were going to bring Geno back, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just one extra year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's a little cheaper.
Yeah.
And they got a second, a third.
They got a third. So basically what you're doing is you have decided to move on from DK Metcalf. Well, Lockett had to go because it was $31 million against the cap, and that was always going to be the case. So take that out of it. That was an aging, cost-effective move. Put that aside. You basically are saying that you would rather have a second and a third round pick, an extra $9 million in your quarterback, and not tie up $30 million a year. That's what you got, and what you gave up was Geno Smith and DK Metcalf.
And if you put it that way, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's a cost.
Even though I don't think Darnold is. I mean, I don't. Whatever.
But I
didn't like Geno either. So whatever.
Yeah.
Do we now that Geno and DK are gone? Do we need to play the Myers Leonard song?
Oh,
don't you think it would be a fitting tribute to the
good and goodbye?
Good and goodbye. Good. We hardly knew ye, DK, Geno.
Yeah, I just they re-signed Ernest Jones, which I like. I think he was very underrated. I think he's a very good linebacker. I like what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. I just have massive questions about where this O-line goes and Sam Darnold. And if they're playing, they cannot roll out this offensive line with Sam Darnold and expect good results. That's the part that I'm struggling. So we'll see what happens in the draft. We'll see what happens in the rest of free agency. But, you know, a lot of teams have rebuilt O-lines this offseason. And now we're sitting here with Seattle, who really hasn't done much of anything. And that,
well, wouldn't you rather do that in the draft than free agency?
Yeah, I mean,
you always say that.
Yeah, I will say that in free agency, anytime you're paying guys, this is the thing about free agency. You're paying third rate guys, second tier money, second tier guys, first rate money. Almost never is there a first tier guy that's in free agency. But I mean, you did see teams get aggressive, and Tunsil, that was a trade, that wasn't free agency.
I know, but
and you see it like the Lions, or not the Lions, but the Bears have completely rebuilt. They went and traded and free agency. They got three new pieces. And by the way, massive upgrade pieces in the interior, two guards and a center.
Well, Chiefs did it too.
Chiefs did it. So it's like there's, I'm not one of those guys that says that free agency is the end all to be all. I think we make way too much out of it. But I also believe that you can't just sit there and roll out the same crappy line that you had last year, hope that Abe Lucas is healthy and plays 17 games, and that somehow the interior magically gets better simply because of Kubiak's system.
Nah, they'll draft.
They have to.
They'll draft a couple. I mean, they have 11 picks now.
Yes.
They got two twos, I think, two thirds.
Yep. And so this is, look, Schneider wants more bites at the apples, and if you look at what he's done in his tenure there, the guy has done a great job of finding players in the draft. The one position that he can't seem to figure out is offensive line, and then maybe Cross and Lucas are the answers there at tackle, and so maybe that part you get right, and you hit on one or two guys, and maybe this is different with a new run scheme. So I'm cautiously optimistic about Seattle. But I do think you have to realize that this is going to take some time, because even in your own division, like this right now, this division is in a weird transition spot. Like, we don't really know what's happening with San Francisco. They've lost a lot. They're having to re-sign Brock Purdy. I don't know if that window's still open. Arizona is a couple years away. They did some stuff today, but Arizona doesn't particularly scare me. But the Rams are the team. The Rams are the team to beat for probably the next 2 years. So if you're Seattle, you got a year or two to kind of figure this out, and hopefully when the Rams kind of transition out of Matthew Stafford, hopefully you're ascending. But for the next two seasons, it does appear that this is the Rams division.
What do you think about Cooper Kupp? He could be cut.
Yeah.
If they don't trade him.
Yeah. So if a trade partner, and they got Devontae Adams, they already signed Tutu Atwell for a bunch of money, which I don't particularly get. Again, third slot receivers now are getting $10 million a year, so whatever. But yeah, Cooper Kupp is available, but Cooper Kupp's not going to, he'll want to go to a contending team. He'll go and be a two or a three somewhere else. And I mean, if you're the Rams going and getting Devontae Adams, who is not the Devontae Adams of old, but I still think he's the two. I think Puka Nacua is the one, but he's a two that can play on the outside. I really like what the Rams have done. The Rams are put. Say what you about the Rams. They went all in, won a Super Bowl, had to take a step backwards, and they're going all the way back in again, and it's kind of exciting. That's if you're a Rams fan right now, I think you're feeling really good about where you're at. I mean, you pushed Philadelphia closer than anyone else in the postseason, and I think you got better this offseason.
So Geno Smith, 83 starts in his career.
Yeah.
40-43.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Darnold, 73 starts in his career, 35-38.
If you and I get it, I like Geno more than a lot of people, but since he's come to Seattle, Geno Smith has been a very, very solid starting quarterback under chaotic conditions, and Sam Darnold has sucked everywhere he went until last year, we ended up in one of the best spots and he was a solid quarterback. So
yeah, Sam Darnold's career quarterback rating, 84.
Yeah.
Geno Smith, 88.
I just
Geno has more yards.
Well, and Geno's just a better thrower of the football.
105 tutties. Darnold, 98 tutties.
And Darnold's younger.
Darnold has 68 picks. Geno, 72. They're the same freaking guy.
I believe one's better than the other, but
no,
yes.
No, he's not. They're the same guy.
I think one's buying a Camry and one's buying an Accord, and I do think that Consumer Reports tell you that one's better than the other.
And they're both going to make you pull your hair out.
Probably. I still think that whether that is a Quinn Ewers, I think whether that is a Kyle McCord.
Well, let's talk about it next. That's what I wanted to talk about next, is if the Seahawks draft a quarterback, and it's not going to be Shador, it's not going to be Cam Ward. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the higher end guys.
No.
If it's going to be the next tier down, who would get you most excited? Mm-hmm. And we've got some names potentially as well. Next on The Fan, here's Buck.
Guys, by now you've heard me talk about Collars & Co., makers of the dress collar polo. They've already sold over a million of these amazing shirts. Well, Collars & Co. just came out with the new Maverick Performance Blazer. This blazer is sharp and wrinkle resistant, so you can travel anywhere with it. Just throw it in your bag and it will remain wrinkle free. It even comes with security zip pockets, a sunglasses loop, and an optional pocket square. So visit collarsandco.com and use code TIKI for 20% off at collarsandco.com.
You want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease a new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $179 a month. Or buy and get 0.9% APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Call 833-853-2970 for details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN SM808128. MSRP 27105. Ends 3/31/25.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Well, it's an interesting year in the draft for quarterbacks. So the Seahawks signed Sam Darnold. Big whoop. But they have 11 picks in the draft. They have the number 18. They have 2 seconds and 2/3. If they are to pick one of these quarterbacks in the draft as the future, who gets your sports pants tight?
Well,
and I have some names. You want me to list off the names? Maybe this will help.
Well, I know that. I mean,
I know you do, but yeah, we have listeners,
yeah,
I think.
Go for it.
I mean, I think we have listeners.
Yeah, I think so. I hope.
Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, because forget about Ward and Sanders and probably even Jackson Dart.
Those yeah, guys Dart's are, like number three now.
He's
yeah.
probably going to be a first rounder.
He's probably going to be a first rounder.
But you do have the 18th pick.
You're not drafting the...
You do have the 18th
pick? Well, I mean, look, I guess if you love Jackson Dart... Never put anything past anyone if you fall in love with a guy, but this smells more along the lines of the second, third round.
Yeah.
So I would assume
that's what they
that
did
those
with Russ.
I would assume those three guys are gone.
So Milroe, yeah. Jalen Milroe, Alabama kid.
I hate it.
Will Howard, Quinn Ewers,
yeah.
Riley Leonard,
no.
Kyle McCord.
See, now we're I'm intrigued.
Dylan Gabriel.
No.
Tyler Shuck.
Yes. So this is the one that...
Who's the Rourke guy from Indiana?
That's Kevin.
Curtis Rourke.
Yeah. Curtis Rourke.
Curtis, or Curtis, yeah, not Kevin.
So maybe
Curtis.
One of those... Any of those guys tickle your little...
Yeah, so I'll pull off two here. First off, you know me, I hate athletic quarterbacks that aren't good. I don't get it. Jalen Milroe, go away. Please don't do that. Riley Leonard can't throw the ball. Please go away, because last time I checked, you do have to throw the ball. Will Howard is... somewhat intriguing to me, big physical guy, and I think Will Howard at times looked really good at Ohio State, but also he was playing with a team of all-stars, and I do think at times he got exposed, so that one I'm a little soft on. I think Quinn Ewers is intriguing to me. I think Kyle McCord is intriguing to me. The only thing I don't like about Kyle McCord is he played exclusively in a college shotgun system, and that doesn't appear to be what Seattle wants. You know who didn't, though? And you're hearing rave reviews about him right now. And people are saying, dude, this guy could be a sleeper and teams could fall in love with him. He's played a lot of football. He's bounced around a little bit. But he is a guy that thrives under center, heavy play action, big arm. At one point was a highly thought of kid, Tyler Shuck.
What?
So if you're looking for someone that wants to play in the Seattle scheme, right, under center, and that's my thing about McCord, I don't know where that fits. If Kyle McCord can be a guy that can play in that system, sure. Same thing with Quinn Ewers. I'm intrigued by Quinn Ewers in that at one point we thought Quinn Ewers was going to be a first-round pick. This season cost him a lot of money. Is there something there where there's some untapped potential there, and if he does slide somewhere into the third round, I would be intrigued at a top-end talent like Quinn Ewers. But if you're taking a flyer on someone in the third and fourth round from a system fit, the dude's like 6'5". He's got a big arm. They said he looked the best at the combine throwing the ball out of anyone. And he plays in a system that is exactly what you want in Seattle. And he has those strengths. And you're not going to have to teach him how to do it. And he's a guy that you can bring along slowly. I think Tyler Shuck is a name that I would circle with this new Clint Kubiak system that I would be intrigued by if I'm Seattle in the third or fourth round if he falls to you.
He had a good year at Louisville, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And he's a guy that's been beat up a little bit. Like I said, he's bounced around from Oregon to Texas Tech to Louisville. But
well, he got hurt. He didn't play in the bowl game.
Yeah. Just keep an eye on that. He is a name that you're hearing leading up to the draft evaluations. And when you listen to Schneider, remember he said that he kind of, there was that clip out there where he was like, hey, I didn't really think anything about these guys, but hey, all of a sudden you could hear a little pep in his voice. And Shuck's the sort of guy that you can talk yourself into when you see him, you see the physical tools and then you see the style that he plays. And it's not like he's ever played amongst elite talent. That's the sort of guy that a GM can talk himself into.
Yeah.
And if the cost isn't that high, then it's like, oh, well, if we get him in the fourth or fifth and he doesn't pan out, no big deal.
Yeah. Right.
You're not having to pay a high price for
this. And you know what? He looks like a quarterback, too. The only thing with him, and it's totally unfair, is I just think of nothing but the Oregon times.
Yeah.
And I'm like, eh. Yeah. That makes
me. Or that's Cristobal.
Well, yeah, that's true. But and he was young. Like, that's so unfair.
Yeah.
He was in a bad offense.
Yeah. And this is what, like...
But he also transferred three times.
Yes.
Yeah. Oregon to Texas Tech, Texas
Tech. Then again,
Tech
so is every kid these days.
Yep. So, it's just one of those... And by the way, this is all a flyer. Like anyone... Someone said, I'm still blown away you think Seattle's looking to take a QB in this horse-ass draft. If you do not have a quarterback, you should be taking one in every single draft.
You got to be holding lottery tickets here.
Yeah. Like, I get it. You're not wasting first and second round picks on guys you don't believe in. But... at the end of the day, you need to take as many bites at the apple as humanly possible. Because while most of the elite quarterbacks do come in the first 10 to 12 picks, and that's going to be, you know, obviously that's going to be where your Josh Allens go and your Justin Herberts and, you know, the Lamar Jacksons and all that. But you do find the Dak Prescotts. You do find the Russell Wilsons. You do find the Tony Romos. You do find the Brock Purdy's. I'm trying to think of who else is kind
Tom
of
Tom Brady?
Yeah, that
Don't
Tom?
You find Tom Brady's in the
That Tom Brady round? Guy. And so I think when you're taking someone in that fourth round and you're going to take a flyer, Jimmy Garoppolo, for all of Jimmy's crap, I believe Jimmy was a fourth or a fifth round pick in New England, and Jimmy ended up one throw away from winning a Super Bowl in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo is not a bad quarterback. Was he elite? No. But again, you're taking shots at that. And if you're Seattle, you do not have your future franchise quarterback on your roster.
He was
right
end
now.
Of the second round pick.
Who was?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy was the second. I thought he was later
62nd overall.
But wow. That's, and by the way, they had this guy by the name of Tom Brady, and even they were like, hey, we want another crack at this. And then Tom kind of forced
they
him out.
They thought he was going to be the next Tom Brady.
So you just do yourself a disservice. If you don't have the quarterback in the room, you should be taking shots. And that's when I like the idea of either huge upside, unfulfilled potential, or in the case of Brock Purdy, like with San Francisco, said, here's a guy that's played a lot of football. Here's a guy that we think maybe not have all the physical tools in the world, but he plays in a system similar to ours. We think it kind of fits. We think he can mold him into something. He's an adult in the room, and that's where I think you can talk yourself into someone like a Kyle McCord, or for me, because of the system fit. Like, you may look at the film of McCord, who had much better numbers, but also remember, he's playing exclusively out of the gun in Syracuse, and it's like one step balls out of his hand. I don't know how that translates into this run heavy system that Seattle's going to run, but Shuck does. So maybe you like McCord a little bit more, but the fit of Shuck is better. And so, hey, we're taking a flyer. Chances are neither guy plays for us. Give me the flyer on the guy that fits what we're looking to do.
Do you think that if Tom Brady died in a fiery car accident, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Garoppolo took over in the height of Bill Belichick,
yeah.
that Jimmy G would be worth a couple extra $100 million and we would think of him completely differently?
Maybe not, but I don't think it's ridiculous to think that they could have won a lot of games and maybe even a Super Bowl with him, because that was a really well-run team. And Jimmy, for all of his flaws, Jimmy proved that he could get to the doorstep, like right there. And this is the crappy part. Again, who was it Emmanuel Sanders?
That's right. Emmanuel Sanders that he overthrew.
Like half a yard. And Jimmy Garoppolo is a soup, because that was a big-time throw. That wasn't like a 10-yard ball.
No, that was like a 30-yard seam route type deal.
Half a yard, and we talk about Jimmy Garoppolo completely different. If Brock Purdy just gets his right guard to not be a jackass and block someone, we may be talking about Brock Purdy being a Super Bowl champ, but it's not the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, I just wonder if Brady, you know, something happened to Brady, and Jimmy G just was the next Tom Brady like they had planned.
Yeah.
I wonder if he, how good he, I just wonder how good he would be.
Feels yeah. great, baby.
He probably would have been hurt and there was limitations, but yeah.
Well, that's what they said about Tom.
Yeah. It's, I
don't see many limitations.
Nope.
At this point.
And I, you know, you can't sit there and rely on finding a Brock Purdy or a Tom Brady or a Tony Romo, but when you don't have one, keep trying. There's nothing worse than someone that has a middle of the road quarterback, Derek Carr. I think Tua falls into this conversation, and I like Tua, but you know, anyone that isn't a top 10 to 12 quarterback, like solidified, plant your feet, you should always be looking to bring in someone into camp and take a look, because you never know when you're going to find. I get Russell. The best example of this is probably Russ. You sign Matt Flynn and you're like, okay, Matt Flynn, we've seen him play a couple games in Green Bay. We like Mike Flynn. We're going to give him a decent contract. He's going to be our Geno Smith. He's going to be our Sam Darnold. Oh, we like this kid out of Wisconsin and North Carolina State. Oh, we'll see what happens. Doesn't have the biggest arm, right? Not the biggest guy in the world, but you know, he's a good kid, good head on his shoulders, good program. You bring him in, and then a month into camp, you're like, God, I can't believe this, but did that's the better version. And you know, you get a Super Bowl out of it, and you know, again, one bad, dumb decision away, and you got two.
All right. Well, that's enough Seahawks talk.
Draft linemen, Seattle.
We don't talk a lot of Seahawks here, but
good ones.
Big day for them. Let's talk about Miss Sucky.
Oh, boy.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do. I do. Unfortunately, someone made a... Speaking of terrible decisions, you got to look in a mirror.
It was rough.
It was rough.
It was rough. That's next on The Fan. Hey, we have basketball party to tell you about.
Ow!
George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents Fan Madness. Thursday and Friday, March 20th and 21st at Stadium Sports Bar at A&A Sports Book.
Can't God wait to hear Buck think. Read that tagline.
Let's go. Yeah, Buck.
Struggling with that sports deck. Great, now
oh,
I'm
really?
God, what's he struggling with?
The sports
The bulging deck. Sports desk?
Sports.
I'm going to go to your mom's house. I'm going to call your mom.
Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
Well, listen to this. Make every buzzer beater... Bracket Buster and Cinderella Run mean more at A&A Sportsbook.
By gambling. And by the way, that would mean more.
All the local shows will be live, including us. It's also brought to you by Coors Light and video only. All the info is at 1080thefan.com. Why are you still clapping?
Yeah, people are excited.
They are excited.
That's a good time to watch the tourney up there.
March 20th and 21st, we'll be up there.
It's packed, too. Maybe Joey Harrington's drunken brother will show up again.
You never know who will show up in a jersey. And that is where we want to go with this little bit here.
What?
We were talking about split jerseys for BTJ. Now, Sabrina Ionescu is bringing the Liberty to Matthew Knight Arena. Mm-hmm. And they're playing a Japanese team.
Yeah.
And, of course, BTJ, your significant other, big-time Japanese.
But also a graduate.
Of Oregon.
Of Oregon.
What is she going to do? She's going to split jersey. Well, I didn't see this, but Buck brought it to my attention, and it's too good to not bring to the program.
Yeah.
That over the weekend, Kentucky played Missouri, and apparently there is a family that has kids playing on both teams.
Yeah.
And the mom had the split Missouri-Kentucky jersey.
Can't do it.
And it read Miss Sucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the old M-I-S-S from Missouri and the U-K-Y from Kentucky.
You
get
Miss Sucky.
Miss Sucky.
It's rough. Rough.
Now, surely they knew that, right?
Like, I don't think so.
Then why didn't the dad wear that one?
I don't know.
You gotta...
They're doing bits.
You think they're doing bits?
I think they're doing bits.
They have to be doing bits, right?
What if they're just blissfully unaware, proud parents?
Yeah.
Well, that's possible, too,
it's
I
possible.
Guess.
Miss Sucky.
I mean, that's great.
What Something if the, Wong.
How about this? What if the dad knows and Something the mom doesn't? Something
Wong?
Yeah, the dad's like, here you go,
dad
babe.
Gets what's going
Got this
on.
For you.
And it slides right by, and he's like, oh, this is great.
And then his would have read Ken Murray? Ken Uri?
Ken Turi?
Ken
Which is nothing. Contrary. I mean, who cares? But Miss Sucky. I mean.
yeah.
True story.
Good times.
I love things like this.
Miss Sucky.
Because sometimes people are just sweet and innocent and not terrible human beings, and they don't realize.
And that could be it.
Yeah.
That could be it. They're just cute little olds.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mama Flag made the news over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that.
What's old Mama Flag up to?
Yeah, flags!
Well,
we love our flags.
Josh Flag was playing at North Carolina with
Cooper
Duke.
Flag?
Or I'm sorry, what did I say? Josh Flag?
Josh Flag?
Who's Josh Flag?
I have no idea. His brother is a...
His brother's Ace Flag.
And he plays at Maine.
You know who Josh Flag is?
Who? No.
He's a realtor on...
oh, the Real Housewives or the Million Dollar Listing?
Million Dollar Listing.
Yeah.
Wow. L.A.
Yeah.
What a
Josh
crossover.
Flag. Well, anyway.
Boy, that tells you what you're watching at night.
Oh,
and what's
it
on your mind?
Dude, the real estate shows get me every time. I love seeing real estate. There's one in New York that's just bananas.
Hey, by the way, I have reality news for the club. Turns out a former teammate of mine is knee-deep in the reality wars now. He's a reality TV star.
Who's that?
One of my quarterbacks. And fun fact, also someone that I've punched. His name was Brett Ingeman. And his sister was one of Larry King's wives. I think it was his last wife. And then he married a Real Housewife of Salt Lake, got divorced, and now he's married to one of the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives gals.
Secret Lives of... That's a show?
That's a show. Where I think, like, the Mormon wives, like, do wife swapping and stuff. And he's married... So he was married to a he's been married twice now to these salacious kind of...
So he just wants to be on reality TV.
I would assume so.
No wonder you punched him.
Yeah. Well, no, he got mad because we were... His sister was like 50 years younger than Larry King when they got married. And so, you know, that was kind of a fun little bit. He did not think it was very funny. And so he did the he's going to stand up to the bully thing. That didn't work out well.
So what number was his sister in the Larry King?
I think like number 5. It was like 4 or 5.
And Larry, and out of what, 10?
I don't know.
How many times was Larry King married?
A lot. Her name, I
think
believe,
he was married 7 times.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So you can look her up. I think it's Sean King. The maiden name would be Ingeman, but I believe Sean King was, she was married to Larry King.
Spouses Frieda Miller, Annette Kay, Aileen Akins, Mickey Sutphin, Sharon Lepore, Julie Alexander, and Sean Southwick?
Yeah, so that would have been her.
She was the last Larry King wife.
Wow.
There you go.
They were married from 97 to 2019.
Yeah.
Does that mean she gets all the dough?
I don't know.
22 years with him.
Well, I guess she does get all the dough.
But they
She's
got,
the last one.
But they got hitched when we were all at BYU together, and so it was kind of fun. How old? Do we know how old when all that went down?
Let's see.
Because she was a hot.
That was 97.
Yeah, Larry Sean Ora Ingeman.
Yes.
And yeah, she looks like she'd be on like Falcon Crest.
Yes. She has that very rich, regal plastic surgery sort of thing. What's the age difference there?
I'm trying to find her age and I'm struggling to do so.
She's pretty.
Yeah. So
she was born in 59.
Whoa.
And they were born and they were married in 97, so she would have been 38 when they got married.
You know, that maybe not as bad as
But he was still probably like in his 60s or something.
Hmm. He didn't. Anyway, he didn't like.
Well,
he didn't like that.
Anyway, Mama Flag. So she was there watching Cooper Flag, who plays for Duke.
Yes,
at North Carolina on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
And Mama was getting some heat from some North Carolina fans in the stands. You know.
Yeah.
And her and Papa Flag, you know, Duke won, and Cooper had a big dunk. And
yeah, they blew him out, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat him pretty good.
Hmm.
And she did the hand on the head thing, you know, like...
Like dunked it on his
like
head?
Like just dunked on you.
Yeah.
The problem is if you look at the clip of the dunk, there's no one under Cooper Flag. Like, so the internet went crazy. Like,
making fun of
Mama
her.
Flag,
she doesn't know ball.
She doesn't even know what that means.
Hmm.
Well, she had to issue... It went viral. She went viral. The whole thing... apparently, it was a wild scene in Chapel Hill, and she had to issue a statement. Would you like me to read you Mama
really?
Flag's statement?
Why do we feel the need to issue statements all the time?
Because basketball is the softest sport on the planet.
Right.
What did
Mama Flag say?
But I feel like she doubles down here, and I'm here for it.
Let's do it.
I want to apologize to anyone who was offended by my language that was caught in a celebratory moment. I do realize it wasn't my best look. However, if you actually know me and are a real friend of mine, you weren't shocked. It was a very intense situation we were put into, and we were taken aback by the crudeness of the UNC fans as we made our way into the arena. They continued to harass us, which with much worse being spewed in our direction, as well as at our 18-year-old son and his teammates throughout the entirety of the game. Notice how she put that he's 18
yes,
on there.
Of course.
Please, reminder,
won't
he's
someone,
just a child.
Won't someone think of the children?
The celebration was a moment of being so proud of our kid and also a big F you to the entire Carolina fan base for being classless a-holes.
Oh!
If you are a UNC fan and didn't like it...
This is real?
Tough S. Better luck next time.
No.
This is, you got both.
Go Duke.
That's
no!
Not real.
This real. Look it up.
No way.
Look it up!
That has
sounds like two different things.
That has Ferentz energy written all over it. No way.
Look it up.
If that's true, Mama Flag became my favorite parent.
Why go through the rigmarole of the first part of the apology if you're just going to get to F you, Carolina?
Hell yeah.
Seriously, look it up, dude. It's real.
Huh.
She said that.
Right. By the way, Sean Engelman was 32 when she married a 50-year-old Larry King.
That's not bad.
28, right?
28-year difference.
Dare I say for Larry?
Is well, no, 18, wait, you 18, said, 18.
You said, hold on.
32
we're
and...
bad at math. You said she's 32.
And he was...
He was 50?
And he was 50.
Yeah, 18 years.
Wow.
That's not... That's not right. There's no way. Wait a minute. You're saying she was the last...
No, it says right here, 26 years older than his ex-wife, Sean Southwick. 26.
Okay, but you're saying that she was the last one? There's no way he was 50.
No. I think they got married and then divorced, and I think they got remarried.
Oh.
Yeah, right here. Larry King and Sean Southwick married in 1997. This was when I was at BYU, and he married my quarterback's sister. Two children. They filed for divorce in 2010, reconciled, split in 2019 when Larry filed for divorce again. And they were 26 years apart. 26 years different. Larry said that the age difference.
So where is Buckley getting his information? His
AI, dude. Internet AI has me wrong.
Dude, AI is rough.
It says Sean Engelman at age of marriage 32, Larry King 50.
No,
so
right here.
It got it wrong. He must have been. They must have picked a different marriage for him.
Yeah, this says 26 years. But dare I say, 26 years for Larry King.
Still not as bad as you thought it might have been.
Can you make the argument that that's probably fairly solid? Larry King, you're like, oh, it's only 26 years. It's insane. And I'm sure she married him because, and that was the thing that he had a problem with, is some of us were pointing out that maybe just marry that wasn't a marriage of love.
Yeah, that she wasn't there for his rugged good looks?
It's possible. But we get to see him around. He would like come around, and Larry King's just as weird looking in person as you would think. Massive shoulders. Yeah, you'd see him hanging around Provo and stuff.
Those pointy skeleton shoulders.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move on to the club. We will start with more plane news. They turned around another one. I don't see why.
Yeah.
I don't see why.
I did see this, and I immediately thought of you.
I mean, well, we'll tell you, it's always a new and interesting scenario. In this one, there was a lot of... There were a lot of big dookies.
Yeah.
I think it was the deal.
Yeah. And that does tend to... The airlines have kind of made their stance on dookie known.
They're doo-doo also.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of doo-doo. But I think you got to get to the destination.
Well, the airline said no.
We'll get to that next on The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.